the warrant and articles, if he will be joining.
Please vote yes. Okay.
I would entertain a motion to have both directors participate by phone.
Same.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Glad that you are well.
Thank you.
May I just make one other quick point before we start the better pay?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to acknowledge that Trudy Steinhauser has stepped down from her position as retired, and we're very grateful for all the work that she has done, and we'll miss her. And that Marlene Vick and Dawn Ferriani have stepped into the breach and have done an absolutely fabulous job, and we really appreciate the work that they've done. Okay.
And thanks for the work you're going to do.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Good. You were not. With that, perhaps we could convene the engineering committee, and I think we need to take the roll for the engineering committee.
Director Rolfe?
Present.
Director Canham? Director Saldana?
Here.
Director Towns?
Here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
And Director Prado is here.
And Director Prado?
Here.
Okay. Very good. Paul, with that, a little episode of unexpected snow last night caused by some lake effect or whatever, but before we go into this, I've ridden the system quite a bit recently during the winter months, and I've asked Paul to just spend a couple of minutes talking about the winter snow and ice status update. Are you going to do that in the board meeting?
I can do it right now. It's a very short run-through. I can do it again.
I'll put you on the clock. please do.
Okay. So before I get into engineering items, there are a couple things I wanted to cover. One of them is snow and ice. This little graphic right here shows you that even today's snowfall for 2008-2009 compared to this year, 2009-2010 season, and we also see the 30-year average there. That 30-year average is calculated for the Chicago area, and it's supplied by the National Weather Service. We've had four more storms in this year's winter season than we did last season. We have the same number of ice events as last season, and slightly more snowfall this season than last season, but you'll note that it's a good foot above what the 30-year average is for this area.
Does that mean we're done?
If you're making a motion to
there. I don't know if that was a rhetorical question, but that is through February 23rd, and I did look and see that last year at this time, we had 20 storms, and we finished up with 24, so I can't say that we're done. And the next slide gives us some of the stats on what kind of material usage we've had so far. 6% increase in salt usage this season, 38% decrease in the use of abrasives, 7% decrease in the use of calcium chloride. Salt is what we use primarily. That's our primary tool for addressing snow and ice conditions. We use abrasives in combination with salt during extremely cold weather events, and it helps keep the snow from packing up on the surface of the road and makes it easier to plow off. And it also reduces the chances of the wet pavement refreezing again. Calcium chloride is what we use when it's really cold out. When temperatures drop below, it could actually work to below 20 degrees. It can melt snow and ice at much colder temperatures than salt can. So we have had an increase in the use of salt. We also have had an increase in our labor required this season, an increase in our equipment costs. We've been running our trucks more, using more fuel this year. We did get really good prices on salt this year, so overall it looks like that's going to offset these other increases that we've seen. With this season being the first season where we've had to take care of the additional 300 lane miles that we've now provided on our system through the congestion relief program, we're doing pretty well. We have taken some measures to utilize our facilities maintenance staff to fill in some of the shortages we have on the labor side in the maintenance division. On the next slide, I wanted to point out that we have had a lot of good public response to our snow and ice operations. That's not unusual. The tollway, you know, is well known for taking good care of its highways, especially during snow and ice events. These were some emails that we've received. They come to me and they come to Mike King, and I've been, you know, trying to share them downwards as much as I can. I provide them to John Benda, our chief of maintenance and traffic operations, and also Mike Zedell, who's in charge of roadway maintenance. And it really does help remind us, and I addressed the section managers meeting. All the maintenance section managers came in. You know, it helps remind us that, you know, what their jobs are very important, and that they impact 1.4 million people on a daily basis. And I didn't want them to think that I took it for granted, and I wanted them to know that the public appreciates it. And that one in the middle is the one I like the best, you know, because it points out that construction is done, the highway is, you know, beautiful to drive on, but best of all is the way you guys keep it plowed. You guys rock. And that's a big credit to, you know, they also, I've been involved with, you know, the maintenance division over my tenure as the chief engineer. They really have cultivated, you know, a team concept, and also they take it upon themselves to be innovative and be responsive and responsible. And I think that a lot of credit goes to the supervisors, especially John and Mike Zedell, and Tim Collins, and Scott Captain. They do a good job. These guys are actually like in competition with each other, the various yards. You know, they don't like to call each other to help each other out in their section. They take a lot of pride in what they're doing, and they're doing a great job.
I'm going to give you a board member compliment. I just drove from Evanston to here, and not only was it perfectly clean, but both ways, and usually going north, it's very crowded, and both just flowing all the way.
You know, and unfortunately, some of these events occurred during the overnight hours. I'm sleeping soundly in my bed, and I wake up, and everything's taken care of. It's just very nice.
You've gone to Rockford Airport once, you know how you do it.
Yeah.
Well, the data that you showed us certainly shows the 30-year averages, but the job that the crew is doing, John, you and the crew is doing an above-average job. And I know that I certainly appreciate it, and it helped Mayor Cradle get to Washington, so the roads were open when he went to the airport. So.
Absolutely.
With that, thank you very much, and please thank your team and all the districts for doing a great job, and tell them we hope they don't have to do any more this year. With that, perhaps, Paul, we could go into the... Let's take the first
director role. Just a couple more items, and I'll...
You got more
emails? I promise to be brief. No more
seven
pictures.
Seven slides of emails.
No more pictures. I celebrated Lincoln's birthday down in Springfield for the... ACEC annual meeting, that's the American Council of Engineering Companies. The tollway did receive several awards along with their consultants, and I wanted to just mention some of them. We did get an award that we're sharing with IDOT for the I-57 and I-294 Phase 1 study of that interchange. That was also done by T. Lennon Engineering. I-88 rebuild and widen of Illinois 83 out here to York Road. We won in the transportation category for that, and that was shared with Jacobs, HDR, and Homer Chastain. IEA, tollway program management, we shared with MTran Consultants. That was for their project management work done at the Naperville Road Interchange. We had a lot of first-time program management activities occur on that job. I think that was the first job where we used web-based project management. or a web-based project management system. We also received some honor awards. It's a little bit higher than the first ones I mentioned. For the I-88 rebuild and widen from Washington to Finley, that was also in the transportation category. We shared with Bowman and Barrett and Associates, and the eastbound I-88 bridge over the Fox River got an award. I'm very proud of that particular bridge, and that was shared with Lochner. So, you know, that the community, the engineering community, is getting a lot of recognition, and we're sharing in that recognition. Our projects are recognized as being you know, done well and innovative and, you know, at the top of the industry. I'm having a hard time getting our projects to win the very, very top award, which they announce. It's like the Academy Awards for Engineering Projects. It's hard to make our jobs look as glamorous as some of the other building work that's going on with green initiatives, but I have put out the word to our consultants that, you know, maybe this next year we can point out some of these things that everyone's taking for granted on our green initiatives with our roadway construction, and maybe we can move up, especially for the tri-state work that we did, which was phenomenal. I also wanted to point out that we just came back from our 96th annual Transportation and Highway Engineering Conference. That's a conference that's held down in Champaign every year. It was attended by about 1,000 engineers, both from IDOT, Tollway, and consulting community, and some suppliers. Greg Stucco, although he is a Purdue graduate, he's on the program committee for the conference. He has been for a few years now. He's doing a great job down there, making sure that, you know, the Tollway has a presence and that, you know, we're getting some recognition. Subhas Bose presented our tri-state work, which was over a $2 billion program effort to rebuild and widen it, and he was joined by John Naughton of McDonough and Associates, Jason Wenberg of Burns and McDonald, and Jeff Druckman of MacTech, and then Kayla McPhee together with Colin Macon of HMPB, he's on our program management office, and Jay Chigle of HDR. They presented a presentation on our curved steel girder construction on I-88 and 294, and these guys did a great job. Their presentations were some of the best that were held down there. And talking too much.
You finally picked up.
I had a few more comments to make, but I'll save them for when we get into our presentation of the professional services, and those comments are going to be with respect to our selection on PSP 09-1.
Can we do a round of applause on the award?
Certainly. Yeah. I was just going to say, I hope you get called to the green carpet, not the red one, with all the things that you're doing. And again, it demonstrates what we've talked about here before, and that is the capacity and effort that's been generated by this whole team over the last 5 years. And as the system continues to benefit from the improvements made, you're just going to continue to see those types of responses, I believe. So thank you to you and your team. With that, we do have to approve the minutes of the January 28th meeting, and I call for a motion to do so.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to approve the minutes. Paul, let's go to the items 1-4. And if you would, there are a couple things that I think are important to speak to, and that is tightness of bids, number of bids, the MBE, DBE. So let's just, we'll cover all of those as part of this. Okay.
Okay. These are all construction contract awards, so we had bid openings this month. Item 1 is a construction contract for roadway resurfacing and rehabilitation, including the repairs to 20 structures on the Veterans Memorial Tollway, I-355 from I-55 to Finley. So I-55 is at the south end, Finley is at the north end. I want to point out that none of this work is going to occur in that area of the roadway that we recently widened and resurfaced between 75th Street and I-88. The joint venture of Cape Bog and James D. Fiala Paving
was the low bidder at $18,889,345.48. They have committed to meeting our DBE goal, 17%. They're actually at 17.06%. The bid, the award amount was $18.8 million. Our budget is well within our budget, which was set at 21.6. And on this particular job, we had two bidders. We'd like to have more. This is resurfacing work that we're doing. There's a lot of resurfacing work out on the street right now. IDOT has got a big program planned for I-290. They're going to be doing everything from the city all the way out to Schaumburg on 290. We did get very good bids on this one. You know, they met the DBE percentage. We feel this is a good contract to award. They did, I think, the engineer's estimate was above 6%. Well, it was 21.5 million. It's above what our award amount came in. But it was within about 6% of the average bid on this, so it's decent.
Any questions on item number one? Please continue.
Item two, construction contract award. This is like the sister contract with item number one, construction contract award for roadway resurfacing and rehabilitation, including repairs to 24 structures on the Veterans Memorial Tollway between the Finley and Army Trail Road. The joint venture of Lower Construction and Geneva Construction was a low bidder at $29,463,170.76. I want to point out on this particular contract that with this bid, Lower has become the first contractor to twice win a bid using their earned credit program credits. This is the fourth contract that has been won using the ECP credits. The joint venture of Lower Construction and Geneva Construction edged out the second bidder, who also submitted earned credit program credits, the maximum amount. All three bidders did include ECP bid credits in this, and I'd like to mention on the ECP program, through the ECP program, 97 disenfranchised individuals, that's minorities or veterans or ex-offenders, have obtained construction jobs in this program. They're earning approximately $5 million annually on this. And to date, this program, you know, with the bid credits, has only cost us $189,000. So $5 million annually over the CRP versus the $189,000. That's a heck of a benefit to cost ratio. And item number three, construction contract for repairs of four bridges on the Tri-State Tollway between Roosevelt Road and Butterfield Road. Pearl Heat Mid-Continent is a low bidder, $6,135,834.24. They also met the DBE. They're committed to meeting our DBE goal. They are at 20.37%. The low bid is within our budget and also came in under our engineer's estimate. The engineer's estimate was roughly about 10%, 11% over the average bid on this item. Item four.
Is there a reason why each one of the engineer's estimate is like that far apart from the average bid? Because the other ones are pretty close.
I think this reflects, I mentioned that that there's a lot of resurfacing work available right now. There isn't much bridge work available right now. We did get a lot of bidders on this job, six bids. They were very, very competitive. They're hungry for the work in this particular area. And that's what it was. We attributed it primarily to the competitiveness of this particular work. Did you want me to go on, Director Rowe?
Item four, please.
Okay. Item four is a construction contract for the installation of a weigh-in motion system at two locations on the Tri-State Tollway. We're going to install one northbound on the Tri-State between Chicago South Line, Lincoln Oasis, and Chicago Road. That's at the very south end of the Tri-State Tollway. And we're also going to install one eastbound on I-94, which is at the very north end of the Tri-State Tollway. John Burns Construction is the low bidder at $1,666.61. And I do want to introduce John Benda of our, he's our manager of maintenance and traffic operations, along with Captain Jezernik. They're going to say a few words about the weigh-in motion system.
Thank you, Paul. Since weigh-in motion is on today's agenda, the captain and I wanted to take an opportunity, since it's a little bit different and unique, to give you a little bit of a briefing on what weigh-in motion is. Weigh-in motion is part of our intelligent transportation system, ITS technology that needs to be deployed across the roadway system. WIM, or weigh-in motion, allows us to capture the weight of commercial vehicles that are traveling at road speed. So unlike conventional weigh stations where you pull trucks over, cue them up, stop them, start them in order to weigh them, this allows us to capture the weight of commercial vehicles traveling at road speeds in all mainline lanes. Oops. Okay. So what is weigh in motion? It sensors in the pavement. On the top you see what we call bending plate technology, and on the center photo it's piezo quartz technology. We're using both technologies on the system, and this allows us to capture volume, speed, and the weight of vehicles that are moving at normal speeds, as I mentioned to you. Roadside electronics, which is depicted on the bottom photo, is really the brains of the system, and that performs the actual weight calculation. And it sends data to two locations, one on site to a sensor and a visual display, you can see on the bottom here. And then it also comes back to the central administration where the data is archived and allows us to generate reports on what kind of traffic, what the speed of traffic, and what the weights of the commercial traffic is, time of day of the week, which then allows us to do some interesting things. What you see here, we've designed the system so the trooper simply has to back up on a pad. He's protected from the roadway, so he's not exposed to moving traffic. And then the visual display, which you see on the bottom, it says ready right now. As soon as he backs up, it activates and says it's ready. And then as commercial vehicles travel over it, there's a series of codes that will identify when a commercial truck goes by, and by color and number tells them if the vehicle happens to be overweighted.
From an officer's perspective, a trooper's perspective, if you're the officer that's sitting on that pad, you're watching a number of things. Certainly you're watching the readout, but you're also watching, is that truck in a prohibited lane? Are they committing a moving violation? Are they applying hazardous material or an unsecure load, or other indicators to indicate that the vehicle may be overweight? If the WIM activates indicating that there's a reasonable suspicion to stop that vehicle for being overweight, our officers will then effect a traffic stop downstream of the WIM. At Pleasant 99, the scale is just south of there. They would actually use Pleasant 99. If there is not a convenient location downwind of the WIMs, the tollway has been good enough to build locations where we can safely stop the vehicle and check them for overweight. This is actually a wheel whip. The WIMs, although they're a very good tool, they're a primary tool to indicate whether a vehicle is overweight. Our officers still need to get a state certified scale as a secondary means to ensure that that vehicle is overweight. Now, while we're stopping those vehicles, we're also doing a full and complete inspection on them, which is a nationally recognized inspection. If there are no violations, they get a sticker, and that gives them pretty well carte blanche throughout the United States to go without an inspection from a similar officer to our commercial vehicle officers. From from the safety end. Overweight enforcement reduces crashes and the severity of crashes. There are a number of key components to commercial vehicles, which can include the suspension, the braking system, the tires, that when they are overweight, those key systems could fail. Also, the load placement, where maybe the middle of the vehicle is overweight, that could cause a crash because of the shifting of that weight. So those are key things that are important from the overweight aspect. Also, if a vehicle is overweight, there's more wear and tear on the brakes, which could cause increased stopping distances and also cause brake failure. From a traffic analysis standpoint, the tollway uses a lot of this key data. The engineers, the planners, they have a lot more data to make those difficult decisions that they make. Also, IPAS can provide truck counts based on the axle weights. The WIM provides the actual truck weights, which can be used by pavement designers. Our officers additionally use this management information to go and see where trends are, and they actually shift their schedules or their work if they find that there's a trend of more overweight vehicles at a particular time of day, day of week. They would spend more time at the WIM during that particular time frame. Also, efficiencies. We have a truck task force of one master sergeant, two sergeants, and 11 commercial vehicle enforcement officers. They are key people that operate these the WIMs, work at the WIMs. They have next month six details, three of them on I-90 at the WIM, three of them at 355 at the WIM. We're also training a number of our officers on how to use the WIM.
Not stated on that, another key element is really to help preserve the integrity of the system. The congestion relief program has rebuilt a major portion of the toll road system, and the industry recognizes that trucks do 90% plus or minus of the damage on any interstate highway system. So, you know, our focus here is to try and make sure that we're capturing those violators and getting those vehicles off the system to the extent that we can. The map here gives you an idea of our current planning effort. Again, this is part of our ITS 5-year deployment plan. This is the first installation down an extension of 355, and last year we completed these two installations, rather critical installations actually, just north of where 39 comes into 90. So we're capturing traffic that may be going in this direction in order to bypass other scales. We're also capturing traffic coming in from Wisconsin. And the preliminary numbers we've seen from the operation of these reports are coming in is there's a huge, huge volume of commercial traffic that's coming in, and it appears as though it's very heavy commercial traffic. Again, we're not trying to target the trucking industry, but we're simply trying to identify those trucks that are overweight. We will be comparing that information against the permits that are issued by the toll road for overweight passage and making sure that those trucking firms are being honest. The remainder of the sites, this is the site that is planned for deployment this year, capturing on the tri-state, as Paul indicated, coming out of Wisconsin, and then down here by the Lincoln Oasis, capturing traffic that's entering the south end of the tri-state coming out of Indiana. Huge truck volumes along the 80 to 94 corridor down here, so we're very anxious to get this one in place. The other locations have been identified as desired for future installation, but Way in Motion has to compete with other monies annually in the budget. So this year we have two that are deployed. From a planning perspective, the ITS deployment program has about $1.4 million shown in each of the 5 years to deploy these systems. They are not cheap, so we're very careful on where we deploy them, and we look at a lot of data. We look at commercial truck movements before we install these devices. The price can range anywhere from $350,000 to $500,000 per location, depending on the number of lanes, i.e. the number of sensors we have to put in, and then the availability of power and communication in order to power the system and then bring that data back to administration, and whether we have to put a downstream enforcement area. So when we can put them by plazas, we try to do that. It doesn't always work out, but that will then impact the cost. I think that's about it. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, on the enforcement issue, the trucks do are great customers for the tollway. And I'm wondering, rather than all of a sudden starting to pull over all these trucks, if there, Captain, this is more directed to you.
Sure.
Is there a way that we could have one warning? I mean, you can get the license plate number, you can get what trucking company it is, and at least give them some 30, 60-day period where they know that we're going to watch, this is coming, that you've had a number of trucks overweight. Just, you know, I think it would just be fair. They're a good customer. We do need them. They do wear and tear, but you know, if it's been going on, it's 30 more days, one thing or another.
I wanted to say one thing there, is at least with this type of a system, we're only pulling over the trucks that are actually overweight,
well,
you know, to be tested. So it's not, you know, before you would run a detail, right? And
yes.
Then I don't know how we determine which trucks would have to be weighed, but at least now we're just targeting those trucks that are actually overweight. And the overweight, I do like the fact that, you know, we have it out there, so they know it's out there, so hopefully it discourages overweight vehicles from going on.
Right, but when he pulls over one, aren't there about 50 more going by then? I mean, wouldn't it maybe be advantageous to for a 15 or 30-day period kind of watch the system, because every time you're pulling one over, there's 100 going by that you're not getting the shot to do it.
Director, we can absolutely look at that, and whenever we start new initiatives, we try to consider things like that. We do want to get word out. The thing is, though, to consider, those same officers that will be at the new WIM are probably looking for overweight trucks today. You know, but it's a little harder for them to do that. Like Paul says, when you see a WIM, the WIM is giving them one of many indications that there could be a problem with the truck, in this case, overweight. They're also looking for other things. But yeah, we could definitely talk to...
The last point on that one is that we actually work closely with the Trucking Association, Midwest Truckers Association. And we do quarterlies and we go back and forth. This is one of the issues we discussed.
Yeah, we recently attended the Midwest Truckers Association annual meeting in Peoria, and very clearly had this as part of our display and openly discussed it with the truckers, showed them the map on where it's at, where it's coming. We're not trying to make this program a secret. We're trying to avoid the overweights coming on the system.
That's great.
As a general rule, the Trucking Association, they don't want to defend truckers who are not behaving appropriately for the industry. They want to make sure that they're representing good actors.
The weight loads that and the overweight categories are statewide standards, correct?
Yes, sir.
So they know that anywhere in the state, they already have that, and that's a known IDOT. And we're simply perhaps monitoring it and enforcing it so that we can look at a number of things, you know, help the trucking industry understand that there is this issue that, and they're trying to self-police themselves, and we think they're doing a pretty good job. But it's also an issue of trying to extend the length of the life expectancy of our highway system. And it's a combination of a lot of things. So it isn't singling the industry out per se. It's saying here are the laws and we're just trying to enforce them and understand why we are. So we aren't trying to really go after anyone. And I think the communication that's been done with both the Illinois truckers and the Midwest truckers is a good thing and continues. So any other questions?
I assume that fines that are levied for violators?
Oh, we didn't comment on that. This is the one citation that is issued by District 15 that the proceeds from the citation do come back to the toll road as a revenue.
That's what I was going to ask. Have we done the cost, or I assume over time we will do the cost-benefit analysis. There's the benefit of the roads not being destroyed, but there's also just the direct...
Yeah, it's important to note that we didn't get into this program thinking that we were going to generate revenue. We didn't expect that this program was going to be revenue positive. And I think there was some $80,000 in citations issued last year.
Almost $90,000 in fines coming back to the tollway from the WIM at Bypassa 99 and I-35.
Our hope is that by having this system, that the truckers will not be overweight, and we can actually monitor how well our pavement performs, and when we go through our next major rehabilitation, we'll have excellent sound data that will let us design a better road.
The last point on this one is our engineering department has one view of it.
It's one that Captain and I talk about, is safety. Repeatedly on the issue, overweight trucks, unbalanced trucks, take longer to stop. It's unpredictable if the roads aren't tied down correctly.
Unstable.
And unstable. Our customers are at risk. And those are the kind of things that we need to get out in front of. The cost of doing it is actually low compared to the cost for customers if something happens. So we definitely want to get out in front of this one. This
yes, it's less than 1% of the CRP cost if you look at it from a numbers perspective. The cost of weigh and motion will end up being about less than 1% of our cost to rebuild the systems.
Very good. No questions. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. With that, we have four items to address. Let's take items 1 through 3 since they are construction related. May I have a motion to approve if there's no further questions or comments?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion, hearing none. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, and items 1 through 3 will be placed on the consent agenda. Item number 4, we just heard the presentation on weigh and motion installation. May I have a motion to approve, please?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded on item number 4. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of number 4, signify aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and item number 4 will be placed on the consent agenda. Paul, let's go with item number 5 and note my abstention on it, please.
Okay. We're getting into the professional services awards section of my agenda, and before I go into it in detail, I wanted to mention that we have completed our selections on our professional service bulletin 09-1. 110 firms submitted 723 statements of interest in response to the 31 items that we advertised in this bulletin. That's a phenomenal response. The second round selections were completed on February 10th. Focused on the last 25 items that we had to select on. We selected on the first 6 items back in November. All firms committed to meeting or exceeding our 20% DB goal, which is what we have on our professional service contracts. The one firm committed to not less than 40%. 9 DB firms were selected as primes in the second round. This is in addition to the 1 DB firm that was selected in the first round. So overall, out of the 31, 10 DB firms were selected. 7 selections in the second round have a mentor-protege arrangement for which they receive additional DB credits, and they're also bringing a DB on board to hopefully they can develop more expertise and perform as a prime possibly in the future. One such arrangement was included in our first round selection, so overall we had 8 mentor protege arrangements. Approximately 20 of the firms who submitted as primes but didn't necessarily get work received work as subconsultants, and an additional 20 firms that did not submit as primes were also represented as subconsultants. So those last 2 items I mentioned show how the work is getting spread around to many firms. Even though we only had 31 items, we're actually involving a lot more than just the 31 firms who are represented as primes. Just to reiterate, I know I've mentioned this before, but the Illinois Tollway uses a qualification-based selection process for this, which is in accordance, which most Illinois local government units also follow. It's in accordance with Illinois Public Act 85-854. As stated in our PSB, Professional Service Bulletin, and consistent with the Act, the statements of interest were evaluated with respect to related experience and technical competence of the personnel and firms and subconsultants that were presented to us, familiarity of these firms and subconsultants with a particular project, their ability to work to complete the work in the time required, and the firm's existing workload, the proposed method of accomplishing the project's objectives or their project approach, quality and scope of their DM or WB or meta protege proposal, and their past performance. I wanna thank the selection committee. They did a lot of extra work in order to review the 723 statements of interest. It was a yeoman's effort. I wanted to point out that the selection committee this time consisted of myself, two deputy chiefs, Greg Stuckel and Rocco Zaccaro, our chief of procurement, Albert Murillo, a representative from finance, Maria Malacone, and a representative from IDOT, Region 1. Typically, it's Diane O'Keefe. She's the Region 1 engineer for IDOT. This time, she was represented by John Fortman. And a representative from the Illinois Society of Professional Engineers, Tom Jester. We did perform a very, very thorough evaluation of all the proposals. There are many qualified firms in this area, and a large response is reflective of the need for work in this particular area right now. There isn't a lot of engineering work out on the street. The selection meeting discussion was also very thorough, and I know that the tollway will be well served by our results.
And on that point, I just actually want to reiterate, this is, as mentioned, 700 plus responses to this has been profoundly time consuming to make sure that every one of them received a very thorough review and ranking. And it has absorbed so much time from this group of leaders throughout the agency over the past month and hit smaller. So they've done lots of nights and weekends and the holidays to try and really churn through this and give a balanced response. So thank you. Follow you guys and look on the IDOT number. Thank you.
That number was 700?
Over 700 responses on 31 others. So, to Paul's earlier point, there's a lot of hungry firms out there and they're fighting for the work. So, good for us.
Thanks for that description. As a new board member, I appreciate you giving us some of the background on that, on how you go through this process. I really appreciate it. But sort of from a big picture perspective, and maybe I should know this already, but so how much did you award out of a total of, so you said 31 primes and?
31 primes.
And the total dollar amount?
I don't know, but you will know on an item by item basis.
I wanted
that
summary
in
the big
picture. We did six of them in December.
Yes.
So once we can total all those up, we just haven't separately hit one before.
Yeah.
We can total all those up.
Okay.
At the risk of giving Paul too much leash on the time scale, maybe you could bring to us an update of where we are at the next meeting and what remains to be awarded as part of this process.
Right.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Item 5 is a design upon request contract. That's a system-wide service that we have. Award of this contract is recommended to Great USA in the amount not to exceed $500,000. This contract includes a MFJ arrangement with HBM Engineering Group. And they have committed to 20% DB goal. We had 36 firms that submitted statements of interest on this particular item.
Any questions on item number 5? Hearing none, I call for a motion to approve, please.
So moved. So moved.
And second?
Second.
Second. Motion made and seconded. All those signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No. And note my abstention on item number 5. Paul, let's take items number 6 and 7, please.
Item 6 is another design upon request contract for system-wide services. Award of this contract is recommended to Caderna Associates in the amount not to exceed $500,000. And I want to note that they committed to a DBE involvement in their contract of 58%. And 12 firms submitted statements of interest on this particular item. Item 7 is a construction management contract for roadway and bridge rehabilitation on the Veterans Memorial Tollway from I-55 to Findlay. This corresponds with agenda item number 1. That's the construction contract they're going to be working on. Award of this contract is recommended to Thomas Engineering Group in the amount of $1,799,831.18. This contract also contains a Metaporta Bay arrangement with APS Consulting and a 32% DB commitment.
Any questions on items number 6 or 7? Hearing none, I call for a motion to approve, please.
So moved.
Is there a second? Second. Motion made and seconded. Any discussions on 6 or 7? Hearing none, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and 6 and 7 will be placed on the consent agenda. Paul, let's take items number 8 and 9, and please note my abstention on these two items.
Item 8 is a construction management contract for roadway and bridge rehabilitation on the Veterans Memorial Tollway between Finley Road and Army Trail Road. This is the construction management work for a construction contract I discussed in item number 2 on the agenda. The award of this contract is recommended to Homer L. Chastain and Associates in the amount of $2,413,765.50. They also committed to meeting our 20% DD goal and 28 from submitted statements of interest on this particular item. Item 9 is a construction management contract for the rehabilitation of 4 bridges on Tri-State Tollway between Roosevelt Road and Butterfield Road. Award of this contract is recommended by Stanley Consultants in the amount of $1,044,477.72. They committed to meeting our DD goal of 20% and 19 from submitted statements of interest on this item.
Okay, so items 8 and 9. Any questions on items 8 and 9? Hearing none, I call for a motion, please.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Please note my abstention on items 8 and 9. Paul, let's go with items 10 through 15.
Item number 10, construction management contract for the construction of our bioswales on the Tri-State Tollway between Tui Avenue and Sanders Road. Award of this contract is recommended to Apex Consulting Engineers in the amount of $670,000. And I want to note that Apex is a DD prime. 15 firms submitted on that item. Item 11 is a construction management upon request contract. That's system-wide services that they will provide. Award of this contract is recommended to Singh and Associates in an amount not to exceed $1 million. Singh and Associates is also a DB prime. They have done work for us as a sub-consultant before on several contracts, and we wanted to give them an opportunity to act as a prime. Item 12 is a construction management upon request contract for system-wide services. Award of this contract is recommended to H.W. Lochner in the amount not to exceed $1 million. H.W. Lochner has a Mariposa arrangement on this contract with Great Lakes Soil and Environmental Consultants. They've committed to a 25% DB goal. Item 13 is a construction management upon request contract for system-wide services. Award of this contract is recommended to DLZ Illinois in an amount not to exceed $500,000. They committed to the 20% goal, and there were 8 firms that submitted on that particular item. Item 14 is a design and construction management contract on the Reagan Memorial Tollway. This is for work that we need to perform at the EJ&E Railroad bridge crossing of I-80. Award of this contract is recommended to ADNA of Illinois. They are also a DB prime, and the amount of this contract is $303,719. They'll have a DB commitment of 83.5%. Item 15 is a professional services supplement to Bowman and Barrett and Associates in the amount of $70,000. This is to provide additional construction management services for bridge repairs that we have on the Tri-State Tollway between the Bensonville Railroad and Lawrence Avenue. Weather and joint fabrication delays caused a schedule loss of approximately 29 working days on this contract. It resulted in some of the bridge work, specifically the bridge painting work that we have to do, getting pushed into the next construction season. They can't do the bridge painting until the spring. We would like to keep this construction management firm on board to finish up the contract. This supplement will allow us to do that, and the job will complete in the spring. I wanted to point out also that Bowman Barrett did have a Mariposa relationship on this contract with DD firm Autumn Construction, and to date they've earned 34.72% on their DD involvement.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Kovacs on items 10 through 15? Hearing none, I call for a motion to approve, please.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor, signify aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and items 10 through 15 will be placed on the consent agenda. Paul, we have items 16 through 19 are all partial releases. Let's take all of those together, please.
Okay. We have four contracts for partial that I'm going to be asking for approval to do partial releases of the Kingman job. Major construction activity is completed on all these jobs. We do have punch list work remaining. These activities are often weather dependent. The agenda items dealing with partial releases of retainage are also including a snapshot of the DD participation, and it is what we have available to us at this particular time. Item 16 is a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $143,314.40 for F.H. Passion S.N. Nielsen. This is on contract 5216. I note that they are on track with their DE involvement in this particular job, and also the contract is within budget. Item 17 is a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction in their retainage to $165,187.72 for Walsh Construction. This is on contract 5244. They are also tracking well on their DD percentage, and their contract is on budget. Item 18 is a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $157,322.40 for the joint venture of KDI Construction and Walsh Construction Company of Illinois on contract 8969. They are tracking well on their DD involvement, and their contract is within budget. Item 19 is a request for partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $341,820 for the joint venture of Walsh Construction Company of Illinois and K5 Construction Company on contract 8972. They're doing well on their DD and also are within budget.
Thank you. Any questions on items 16 through 19? Hearing none, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded on items 16 through 19. All in favor, signify aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and items 16 through 19 will be placed on the consent agenda. While we have some final releases as well, items 20 through 23, can we put all of those together, please?
Okay. On the partial releases, I've asked for your approval to reduce their retainage to certain dollar amounts. So I know that those dollar amounts are determined by the amount of work that they have remaining times two. So I'm always holding two times more than the work they have remaining. As opposed to these final releases, which I'm returning all their monies to them now, and we're accepting the jobs as, you know, complete. Item 20 is a request for a final release of retainage in the amount of $100,000 to R.W. Dunstman. This is on contract 5499. They actually have earned more than their DD commitment on this particular job, and it is within budget. Item number 21 is a request for final release of retainage of $1,373,336 to FHP Tectonics Corporation. This is on contract 5516. Their DD to date is above the goal that they committed to originally. This contract is also within budget. Item 22 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $200,000 to K5 Construction on contract 8971. They're finishing up this job at 12.36% on their DD. Their goal was 11%, and this contract is also within budget. Item 23 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $127,804.55 to Broadway Electric Construction on contract 9052. They are meeting their DD commitment, and they are also within budget.
Any questions for Mr. Kovacs on items numbers 20 through 23? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve, please?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made in second. All in favor, signify aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried, and items 20 through 23 will be placed on the consent agenda. And follow the final item is permit number item 24.
Item 24 is a permit request that will allow Above Net Communications to install, maintain, and operate fiber optic facilities on our system. The fiber optic cable will be directionally forward, under, and across the Veterans Memorial Tollway at Butterfield Road.
Any questions on the permit? Hearing none, motion to approve, please.
So moved.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor, signify aye.
Aye.
Opposed? With that, the motion carries, and item number 24 has been approved and will be placed on the consent agenda. Is there anything else to be brought before this committee? Hearing nothing in that regard, call for motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is carried, and the engineering committee meeting is adjourned.